Hello, this is Whitney Crow, Mississippi State Extension Entomologist, and today is Monday, July the 27th, and I just want to make a couple of comments because white flies have been a point of conversation for the last couple of weeks now. So a lot like spider mites, white flies prefer really hot and dry, and so we're receiving some more questions about them than we typically do, just because these populations appear to be much higher in some areas. And so thankfully, of the white fly species that we're predominantly dealing with, it seems like a lot of these questions are around banded winged white flies, which is fortunate because they tend to be a little bit easier to control than the silverweave white flies, which is what's common in Georgia. And so areas of Georgia deal with this pest on a regular basis. It's just not something that oftentimes we're dealing with in the Mid-South. There's not a whole lot of research out there in the Mid-South just because it's not a problem we generally recommend. So the thing about white flies is they're oftentimes much harder to control, so we'll recommend or need to make a sequential application within a shortened interval to see a decrease in those populations. I realize that in most situations here, we're not gonna do that just because sometimes we're utilizing white fly products that are different than our typical tarnished plant bug rotation chemistries. And so the reason why white flies tend to be more difficult is just simply due to the biology. So that's a major role in that. So the young immatures are only going to move around for a short period and they become fixed to the leaf until adulthood. So the fact that these immatures are at some point in their life cycle become immobile, a lot of times contact insecticides are just going to be difficult in reaching those insects. And so that's why we'll see variable or inconsistent control. So when we talk about needing to make an insecticide application, it's going to be justified when the population of the field has 50% or more of the terminals infested with adult white flies. And so given the number of white flies we're seeing, some fields may exceed those levels. I would say most of them aren't, but it's still going to be important when we think about treatment decisions. We still need to consider the crop and the economics and the budget that we're working in. And so in Stoneville, most recently, Don and Tyler established a foliar insecticide trial, and they were really trying to target tarnished plant bug products just because these are what we're most likely going to be utilizing. So when I think about what they evaluated imidacloprid, Transform, Orthene, Acale, Centric, and Savantoprime. So out of those products, we're more regular going to see a Transform or an acephate-based product. And I know some of the calls that I've already had around white flies, they've utilized just one singular application of acephate, and they actually went out with a pound. This study that Tyler did was looking at 3/4 of a pound, and what they found was none of them reduced the number of white flies per plant statistically from the untreated, but they did see a numerical reduction from the highest from Transform and for Savantoprime, but all of those provide some reduction. And then for the adults, we saw a much better reduction in the overall number of adults. And so there was some separation with the Acale and Savantoprime providing the highest statistical difference from the untreated. But again, everything from all of those products reduce the number of adults compared to the untreated. So I think at this point, it's really going to be variable in the amount of results we're seeing. They'll go back and evaluate that at 14 days. But again, we would have already in a white fly management program would have hit those trials again with the secondary application. So remember, we're not likely to do that due to economics, especially if we're utilizing a product that's not in our normal tarnished plant bug rotation. So just keep in mind that we have some potential to reduce those adults, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to immediately reduce those immature populations. So don't panic if you start seeing white flies. A lot of times, historically speaking, white flies alone are not going to justify an expensive insecticide application. So I think really the idea is to focus on how our plant bug applications can help suppress some of this white fly activity and focus on the overall plant health. So hopefully if those plants are remaining healthy and we're not showing a lot of visible signs with heavy white fly feeding, then monitoring probably is the best approach. Just keep a close eye on it. If for some reason you think you need to make an application outside of a tarnished plant bug product, or you need to come back with something, a sequential application after you've made a white fly application, just call us if you have questions around it. But there are some options. But again, a lot of times a singular application just isn't going to reduce those numbers just because the biology plays a huge role in managing this particular insect. The other thing that I want to talk real quickly about is bollworms. So we started the bollworm flight a couple weeks ago. At this point, it really seems like bollworms are going to be relatively light this year, and which is positive compared to last year. It was much heavier. There was a lot more going on. We saw a lot more bollworms coming through three-gene cotton than we historically do. So remember, when we talk about cotton management for bollworms, sometimes as we progress throughout the year, we'll see an expression VIP or any BT expression dip just because of environmental stresses, whether that be heat or drought. So since the majority of the state is three-gene cotton, I'm not aware of any two-gene, but I would say most of the acres in the state are three-gene, whether that be Wide Strike 3 or Bull Guard 3. Remember, it's going to be imperative to go off of either larvae, so 8%, or after bloom will be 4% larvae that are an eighth of an inch or longer, or 6% fruit damage of any kind. So remember that this is slightly different than 2-gene. We're not recommending spraying on eggs, that these worms do have to hatch and feed before they're able to ingest those toxins. So just remember that if for some reason you find yourself in a situation where worms are coming through 3-gene cotton, please just call us so that we can evaluate the situation, potentially make a collection. But based off of what we're hearing this year, I would assume that things should look pretty good just because we're going to have a lighter year. And just remember to, especially as we get started later in the season, especially after insecticide termination, where a lot of times some things will come through that cotton, remember it's imperative to terminate timely and kind of stay away from those fields, because sometimes that expression will dip real late in the season, but they're not necessarily any larvae, not just bollworms, army worms, whatever else may come through that technology, but it's likely not at a level or a time that's going to impact yield. So just keep that in mind. The other thing would be bollworms or podworms in soybeans. So some people asking some questions just around it. Again, it doesn't seem like these populations are high enough to justify any type of economic insecticide application, but you have one of two options. In regards to soybean management, you can use just the standard 9/25 sweeps if that's what you prefer, or we do have the dynamic threshold established for soybeans. So for example, if you wanted to use the dynamic threshold, the current value of soybeans is $12 per bushel. If you targeted a $15 per acre application, your threshold for bollworms or earworms, podworms, whatever you choose to call it, would be 5.5. And so as that changes, so for example, if your control cost was $10 per acre with $12 bushel soybeans, you would use a 3.7 threshold per 25 sweeps. If for some reason you want to look at this particular graph or you have any questions, again, just feel free to call me. My cell is 901-592-8787, and I'll be happy to walk you through it. But also, you can find it on page 36 of the Insect Control Guide. That's available. If you don't have a hard copy, that's also available online, and you can look at it on your phone, or if you'd like, I can screenshot a picture and send it to you. But again, if you have any questions around this, hopefully a lot of the beans planted across the state were planted early enough that they'll miss all of the insecticide applications. you're likely to run into some issues once we start getting later in the season, especially if you had later planted beans. But for right now, it seems like most things are relatively quiet, predominantly dealing with tarnished plant bugs, some white floss here or there. We've also had a fair amount of spider mite calls just due to the hot and dry nature. But that's it. If you have any questions regarding anything in the state, again, feel free to call and ask us any questions. My cell again is 901-592-8787. I hope y'all all have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.